Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of June 2nd. Leaders of the world's eight richest countries met in Evian, France this weekend to discuss how best to maintain their stranglehold on the global economy. The G8 summit featured representatives from Japan, Germany, France, Italy, Britain, Canada, the U.S., and Russia in 3 days of talks starting Sunday. Together, these eight countries control half of the world's wealth. As has become the norm for such summits, diplomats met inside a fortress fashioned out of a remote luxury resort. A 15-kilometer security perimeter around Evian, including restrictions on air travel and boat travel in the region, was enforced by more than 25,000 Swiss and French riot police, supported by German cops hired specially for the occasion. As leaders were whisked by helicopter from the Geneva airport to the summit on Sunday, more than 100,000 people took part in marches originating in Geneva and in the French border town of Annemasse, where an anti-G8 camp has been set up by activists. The two marches joined on the Swiss side of the border, then headed together towards the security perimeter. In the French city of Lausanne, activists disrupted the hotel district where some summit delegates were staying and blocked a highway leading to Evian with burning barricades. In Geneva, protests continued well into the evening as frustrated activists descended upon the city's shopping district. In confrontations with police, activists met with violent crackdowns incorporating stun grenades, rubber bullets, tear gas and water cannons. Needless to say, no activists or activist organizations were invited to participate in the G8 talks at Evian, though French President Jacques Chirac took plenty of time over the weekend to convince reporters that he's concerned for and respectful of the views of others. Of course, Chirac was not talking about activists in the anti-globalization movement, or even about U.S. President George Bush, photographed at the summit giving the French leader a friendly pat on the bum. Rather, Chirac was making reference to the 12 delegates he deigned to invite from influential growing economies such as India, Brazil, Mexico, and Malaysia. These delegates were invited to the G8 table on Sunday to address so-called development issues. But the summit has made no headway on crucial development matters like debt relief, access to generic drugs, and agricultural subsidies. Instead, the energies of G8 leaders at Evian are focused primarily on healing the diplomatic rifts created by recent U.S. and British aggression against Iraq and on figuring out what to do about the tanking U.S. dollar. Ever since Bush's administration announced the largest trade and budget deficits in U.S. history, started invading countries without the support of the United Nations, reneged on its promises at the World Trade Organization, sold off the reconstruction of Iraq to Republican Party donors, and announced that it expects to run global security through the use of bombs in space and small-scale nuclear weapons paid for by American taxpayers, even the most brazen investors have become reluctant to add U.S. companies to their investment portfolios. The result is that prices are falling, unemployment is rising, and the U.S. dollar is weakening. Last week, the dollar sank to an all-time low against the euro. The sinking U.S. dollar has also contributed to rises in the currencies of Japan and Canada. While at first this may sound like bad news for the U.S. and good news for other G8 countries, the reverse is more accurately the case. Though the U.S. administration pays lip service to the notion that a strong dollar is good for America, U.S. Treasury Secretary John Snow has also noted that a lower dollar makes U.S. goods more competitive on the international market, making it easier to export. In time, a weak U.S. dollar could work to bring the U.S.'s massive trade deficit under control by flooding the globe with cheap American brands while imports become increasingly expensive. Expensive imports in the U.S. are handy for another reason. Inflation has become very low in the States, leaving some economists concerned that deflation or falling prices on all goods could stagnate economic growth. This has already happened in Japan and could be imminent in Germany. Increasing costs for imports could help to keep inflation in America stable while the country recovers from the massive budget and trade deficits and other economic fiascos ladled out by the Bush administration. For many other G8 countries, however, the low U.S. dollar is an economic millstone. The U.S. controls the world's largest economy, and the dollar is the currency most commonly used for trading in precious commodities such as oil and gold on the international market. As the U.S. dollar drops, returns on these commodities also shrink, while competing currencies rise in value. But with a rise in currency, exports become harder to sell, a situation that again could favor the U.S. market. The dropping U.S. dollar has already contributed to the rise of Japan's yen. That's bad news for Japanese exporters on whom Japan is relying to avoid economic meltdown after almost a decade of stagnant growth. Japan is currently locked in a downward spiral of deflation after 41 straight months of falling prices, low interest rates, drooping consumer spending, and increasing unemployment. Deflation makes goods cheaper, but debts more burdensome, as lower incomes and profits make debt harder to pay off. The high euro, also rising in relation to the U.S. dollar, is meanwhile threatening to undermine several of Europe's export-driven economies. Germany, Europe's wealthiest nation, is dominated by a large manufacturing sector that is particularly sensitive to currency exchange rates. As the euro has climbed from an all-time low in 2000, Germany has correspondingly slid into recession. The International Monetary Fund now says Germany is at a high risk of deflation. Michael Rogowski, head of the Federation of German Industry, says that every cent the euro increases gives him worse stomach pains. As two Merrill Lynch economists have noted, quote, the euro's strength versus the U.S. dollar and the British pound means eurozone growth will be chopped and dished out to the United States and the United Kingdom, end quote. As part of its response to these economic woes, European governments are slashing spending on social programs like pensions, welfare, unemployment benefits, healthcare, and education as a way of pumping money into the private sector and boosting investment. Proposed pension reforms in France are the cause of ongoing strikes, protests, and labor unrest. Just last week, Germany's ruling party approved a controversial package of economic and social reforms designed by leader Gerhard Schröder that has also caused protest in the streets. The plan, which could easily have been designed by the International Monetary Fund itself, cuts unemployment benefits, pensions, and health care while loosening labor laws so that small companies can fire employees more easily. Many members of Germany's ruling Social Democratic Party feel that the package betrays party principles. They, along with union workers, students, and activists, accuse Schröder of trying to dismantle Germany's welfare state. Nonetheless, about 90% of party delegates in attendance at a meeting in Berlin last week voted to back Schröder's proposals after the leader threatened to resign and warned that failure to implement his plans would leave the door open for a return to power by the country's right-wing Christian Democrats. Support for Schröder's party has waned since elections last September as unemployment rises and recession worsens. Hundreds of union workers, students, and activists protested outside of last weekend's meeting in opposition to the package, continuing a struggle marked by nationwide strikes 2 weeks ago. That struggle is far from over. Activists have until later this year to work against the proposed policies when they come up for approval in Parliament before passing into law. The weak U.S. dollar is also implicated in a strike at the world's leading nickel mining operation in Sudbury, Canada. Sudbury's Inco mining facilities produce about 9% of the world's nickel. 3,300 Inco employees in Sudbury and Port Colborne walked off the job at midnight Saturday after their labor contract expired without a new agreement being negotiated after 2 months of talks. 95% of the members of United Steelworkers Local 6500 voted on Friday to reject the company's contract offer after last-minute talks to avert the strike failed. At issue is disagreement over company pensions, which both sides say was too wide to salvage a deal. Inco has been struggling with rising production and labor costs at its Sudbury operations, particularly escalating costs for energy and pensions. The weak U.S. dollar, which has pushed the Canadian dollar high, has worked to increase these costs as the company calculates its spending on its Canadian operations in U.S. dollars. The company already had one of Corporate Canada's largest pension deficits at the end of last year. This year, Inco's contributions will more than double as the company makes up for poor market returns on its nickel and other metals, a situation also linked to the drooping U.S. dollar. Partly due to the low U.S. dollar and the correspondingly high euro and Canadian dollar, Inco's development of two of the world's biggest nickel deposits in the French territory of New Caledonia and on unceded native land in Atlantic Canada's Voisey's Bay have also been experiencing cost overruns. Nonetheless, construction of the two facilities marks the biggest expansion phase in Inco's history. Production from the new facilities is expected to increase Inco's total production by 40% when they become active in a few years. But that's not keeping the company from whining about being unable to pay its future retirees. It must be frustrating to slog away in a mine all day for a growing company that wants to cut your pension to boost its profit margins. All of Sudbury's production was down Sunday as non-unionized staff took over the care and maintenance of 7 mines, a mill, a smelter, and 2 refineries. Union officials said Inco was transporting staff to the facilities by helicopter to avoid crossing the picket line. The strike is expected to add to nickel supply worries on the international market, helping to push prices of nickel and other metals higher this week on the key London Metal Exchange. And that's a wrap for this week's Business Report. Signing off, this is Andy Beasneys reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.